Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sesmat, Jerry Colangelo in about 10 minutes. I'll talk with Jerry at 10:20 about the Suns. Robert Sarver recently dropped some hints about needing a new arena. And I want to hear from Jerry Colangelo about that thought. Is U.S. Airways not able to house the Suns like it once was able to? Would the Suns have to move anytime that there's talk of building in town? I don't mean move out of Phoenix, but would the Suns move to a different location in the Valley to play games? Jerry's a developer now, so I'm very curious to hear his view on the Suns and this present state of what's going on downtown. Also, his building project involving USA Basketball in Tempe fell apart about 6 weeks ago, but is not dead. I want to talk to him about that. Grand Canyon University and how Dan Marley's doing, some things around GCU, and Kevin Johnson in the Hall of Fame. So we'll have Hall of Famer Jerry Colangelo in about 10:20. Also, today's talk to the Lopes. Andy Stankiewicz will be with us in hour number two. They're off to a good start this season. There's other things we're working on as well. Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Eric Sorensen, in the house today.
Hi.
Tomorrow, you're leaving for Indianapolis. Have you checked weather in Indy for the combine?
Of course. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No snow, but it's going to be, it'll be nice, chilly, frigid, Midwest conditions.
So the combine, you go there, they bring players in to you. I'm going to get into some stuff about Jameis Winston in a minute that Peter King wrote about this morning. Peter will join us, as always, from the combine. You've got other guys you're chasing at the combine already, I'm assuming.
I do. Yeah, I have a little game plan. Like you said, it's my fourth year, so I'm a lot more familiar with how the system works. And like I told you yesterday, Brad, it's not really – it's a little bit like organized chaos. They bring players through. You don't know who they're bringing or when they're bringing them. And there's like five or six different podiums set up inside the stadium, and they'll just have people – you know, it's just kind of like a – first come, first serve.
Sure, so. Sure. Our coverage at the Combine brought to you by Santan Ford for the fourth straight year. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. That's great that you're going to be at the Combine. Plenty of Combine stuff tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. We'll do some Combine work today. Some things that are on there on my mind as well. Let's get you caught up. What is on my mind in the world of sports on a busy Tuesday, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. The Honda Resort and Casino, you head on up to the White Mountains, the northeastern part of the state, just outside of Pine Top on your way to the Sunrise Ski Resort. And there it is. Ta-da! Honda Resort and Casino. You can go there, stay, eat some great food, have some fun, pull down in the slots. Make that your base camp, so to speak, for your weekend of skiing. Start looking ahead to this weekend. Snow's going on at sunrise. Great place to go ski. Get all your equipment right there at the Honda Resort and Casino at the ski shop. Eat some great food. Have some fun when you get back after a day on the slopes, sledding, snowboarding, skiing, whatever. All at the Honda Resort and Casino in Pine Top, just outside of Pine Top, rather, in the beautiful White Mountains. That is the Honda Resort and Casino. So, Jerry Colangelo in about 10 minutes. So, the Combine is there's quite a few Arizona angles in the Combine this year. And some years we go to the Combine and it's kind of like, last year I think it was Johnny Manziel was really the big storyline. This year, Jalen Strong, is he going to be a first-round pick or not? If you're an ASU football fan, Eric will be back there for that. You have Taylor Kelly, you have Jamil Douglas. I'm leaving somebody out.
Taylor Kelly will not be there. Jamil Douglas, Marcus Hardison. And Demarius Randall. So there's four ASU, but TK is not going. TK did not get an invite.
Okay, so those are the ones that that Eric will be chasing.
And no U of A players, by the way.
And no NAU players.
Nope.
So, but there's also two players in state that will be there. Andres Pete, offensive tackle from Corona del Sol High School, who went to Stanford. Eric, he's like 10 to 15 in the first round. He's a first-round pick.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. He is the prototypical NFL tackle. Long, athletic.
Huge. Yeah. Brett Hundley is the one that's a bit of a mystery on the quarterback front. It's Jameis Winston. It's Marcus Mariota. And then it's either Brett Hundley or Bryce Petty. And that's as we sit here in February. I still believe that as this moves forward, there'll be teams that will want to try to get a quarterback earlier than they should. We'll see. terms of Jalen Strong, what does he need to do at the combine? NFL Network's Mike Mayock, one of the leading voices around the combine, has seen it through the years. He spoke earlier about Jalen Strong and what he needs to do starting tomorrow at Indianapolis.
More than anything would help him is a good 40 time. And I really like Jalen Strong. He's a kid from Philadelphia that kind of found his way to Arizona State eventually through the JC system. I don't want to say that he is he has the physical traits, height, weight, speed of a Larry Fitzgerald when Larry Fitzgerald came out of the University of Pittsburgh. Now, that doesn't mean he's anywhere close to him from a technique perspective. He's really raw. But what he is he's strong, with very strong hands, big body. I think he's a second-round pick that could evolve into even a late first-round pick if a team falls in love with him. But he's big, he's strong. What he runs this week is going to be important. There's a huge difference between him running 4.6 and 4.5. So I'm rooting for the kid because I like his game.
Yeah, we're rooting for him, too. I've seen some picks, mock drafts that had him as a first-round pick, mid-first-round. Mike Mayock saying second round. I get it on the 40 time. That's what it's all about with wide receivers. I don't know if I get into the he's Larry Fitzgerald-esque. He seems to me to be more physical than that. But obviously we want him to do well, I do believe, this week. And to me, he's an intriguing player. A lot of around the combine this week comes around the intriguing types of players. Jameis Winston is the most intriguing of all. You may be sick of Jameis Winston. I was sick of Jameis Winston with all the dumb stuff he did in college at Florida State. But Jameis Winston is now on the rehab tour. That means he's going to go do some things, go disappear, go underwater, come up for air, and all of a sudden it's, he's got it figured out. We'll see. Peter King, who joins us every week during the NFL season and will join us this week, I'm sure, at the Combine, had a big story this morning on Jameis Winston. What do you know? Jameis Winston went to San Diego for the last 3 weeks to work with George Whitfield. We've had George on the show, Eric, right? If I remember correctly, we talked to him at the Combine last year.
We have not, but I did talk to him.
I don't think he's been on the show,
but yeah, we did a piece on Kyle Allen. So if I run into him this year, there are also a couple angles from local guys. Brady White, the new ASU quarterback, and Brian Lewerke, who we had on the show recently, who's going to Michigan State, also worked with Whitfield.
So Whitfield, he takes these kids on the beach, essentially, and takes them out in the ocean. I didn't know he worked with Lewerke. So.
I think he did. He works the Elite 11 camp, and yeah. A lot of those kids go the Elite 11 camp. So
Peter wrote today that Jameis Winston has spent the last 3 weeks working with George Whitfield. Peter laid it out today that he is going to do a 15-minute interview on Wednesday. So tomorrow he's going to have an interview. We don't know what time, but he'll do that. He's going to meet with teams Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. Thursday he'll meet with the media in a controlled 15-minute, as Peter put it, mob session on Thursday. Eric will be right in the middle of that, in the middle of a sword fight. That ought to be a lot of fun. He'll work out at Lucas Oil Stadium Saturday afternoon, and then he'll leave Saturday night. Part of what he spoke with George Whitfield about, Peter did, George explaining to Peter that they have had the conversation about the off-the-field stuff. So what you're going to hear in the combine, what you're going to hear from Jameis Winston, is going to be a lot of, I made mistakes, I screwed up. Whitfield worked with Johnny Manziel last year in the same sort of approach. Be accountable for your actions. Whether he meant it or not, that's another story. We all have seen now what's happened to Johnny Manziel. A year later, Johnny Manziel's in rehab. So we'll hear that. What we don't know or what we need to see is how will Jameis Winston do in a lot of these drills? I myself have found through the years and talking with scouts and all that stuff that the 40 time is not as big a deal as everybody in our profession makes it out to be. In our profession, the 40-yard dash looks great. Okay? The bench press, that looks great, so it sells better. There's more to it than the 40-yard or how many reps you can do. And this is from people within the league that have told me that the most valuable part of the combine, by far, is the interview process. Because they actually get to know somebody, or at least see if they get to know somebody. If somebody is just putting on the PR guy, has worked with him over and over and over, they've hired a PR staff to work with him. You know, you put these weasels in these front of these kids, and these weasels tell them to say this and say that, and this is how you get through this tough question and that tough question, rather than just tell the truth. Oh, but he's going to cost himself hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars. Yeah, and leagues now can see that PR has made a bunch of money off kids, and it doesn't necessarily translate. So that is of interest to me, to see how Jameis Winston comes out of all this. Because, yeah, I'll watch him throw. I'll watch the combine this weekend. I'm like you. A lot of you guys can't get enough of the combine. I don't sit there when it's 75 degrees at 2 in the afternoon and say, hey, everybody, leave me alone. I'm watching the combine. But I do think that there's enough there this year for us in what we do here at Sports 360 and for you here around the state, that between Hundley and Pete and the ASU guys, and Jalen Strong in particular, I want to see how Jalen runs now. That there's a ton of content there, and it's great that we're going to be there. On the other side, so Jerry Colangelo is going to join me. And I've talked to Jerry through the years dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Sometimes it's very thought-provoking, very eye-opening. Sometimes it gets contentious. Today I'm in this mindset of I have to find out what his view is of the health of the NBA after All-Star Weekend. But I'm really curious, what does Jerry think about these rumblings and Robert Sarver even admitting he needs to get a new building for the Suns? Are we at that point here civically where it's time to look at a new arena? It's always a big topic, big talking point when new buildings get brought up. That's straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at sports360az.
So a reminder that tomorrow, Eric Sorensen heading to the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, thanks to our friends at Santan Ford and the Arizona Ford dealers. We continue growing by leaps and bounds. This will be the fourth year that Eric has gone to the Combine. He'll be there for three full days providing content at sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Over the weekend, I was watching NBA TV, and they had their Hall of Fame induction ceremonies live, and the first person I saw sitting to the left of the podium was Jerry Colangelo, and I had heard Adam Silver's address, State of the Union, around the league and thought it would be great to have Jerry on for a couple of minutes, USA Basketball chairman, of course, the godfather of sports in Arizona, for a few minutes to talk about a lot of things around the NBA, the Suns a little bit, Kevin Johnson, a semifinalist, Adam Silver, the health of the game. I appreciate you coming on board, Jerry. How was your All-Star weekend in New York other than bitterly cold?
It was also very hectic during that time, but, you know, for me, it's a way to stay connected, see a lot of people once or twice a year, and, you know, literally the basketball world professionally is gathered at these functions, and this was no disappointment.
Is Kevin going to make it into the Hall of Fame? Let's just start with the Hall of Fame stuff.
Well, bear in mind that the North American Committee selects finalists, and then the honors committee, made up of 24 voters, and this group of 24 has turnover each year. It's not a constant same 24. They vote, and it requires 18 votes out of 24 to make it. So it's anyone's guess as to you know, who is going to be in there when it's all said and done. I would tell you that the North American Screening Committee, who forwarded these 12 names as finalists, there were great comments about Kevin, for sure. You know, certain people received probably more traction in discussion than others, but it's all bottom line, it's all about 18 votes.
There's no other players from your time with the Suns that are up, or people with your group that are up for Hall of Fame, right? It's just KJ right now?
Well, KJ is one of the finalists.
Right.
Paul Westphal's name was on the list of in the screening committee portion, who eventually came up with the finalists. Paul Westphal's name was on that list.
That's good to hear. It's good to hear. The health of the game. So Adam Silver talked about the scheduling of games, the playoffs, the reseeding. What struck you most from the state of the state that Silver presented, Jerry? Was there anything that really stood out to you about the game?
Well, the health of the game as it relates to the financial health of the game is
amazing,
enormous.
Yeah.
And that's because of the, you know, the new television contracts that just changed the game in so many ways. And the real problem, or the real issue, or the struggle going forward is how that's all going to be shared. But the salaries of the players, you're going to have players coming off the bench making $10 million a year because the cap is going to go up so much just based on percentages. That's the challenge. As it relates to scheduling and shortening and so on and so forth, mm-hmm. that's all tweaking. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just cosmetic. All important, don't get me wrong, but those are minor changes that should be instituted because they're easily done.
Four games in five nights might have been smart business 20 years ago with building availability and all that, but keeping players' health is better business now in 2015, correct?
Sure, and it's not just about health. It's about the product. It's about what you see.
Mm-hmm.
When players are tired, you just don't get the same product, and so the show isn't quite the same. And I do think they'll stretch the season just a hair. They'll be able to do away with some back-to-backs or the number of back-to-backs in 3 and 4 or 4 and 5, and that's all for the betterment of the game.
How do you go about playoffs and reseeding Eastern Conference, Western Conference?
That's a bigger struggle because you're going to have a real split among the teams and ownership because, you know, look at where the strength is today. And I understand it goes in cycles, but the West has been pretty strong for a while.
Right.
And the East has not. And therefore, the East is going to, you know, fight like heck just to keep the existing situation. And that'll be not a struggle, but something that if Adam wants to do this for the betterment of the game, then he's going to have to do a lot of politicking. You don't come to a vote until you have the votes.
And it seems to me that, correct me on this, Jerry, but the West, we're talking about lifestyle and living year-round. There are more players looking at places out West than there are East Coast, cold weather. Is that part of it, why the East just can't seem to get it together?
Not necessarily. I just think it's happened, you know, that way. You know, players will love to live where they love to live, you know, the nicer weather,
right,
the warmth, et cetera.
Right.
But they're also going to look, where can they maximize their opportunities in their profession? And if that means living in a nice place in the off season, that's what they'll do. And sometimes they can have both of it, you know, both the playing and living in that kind of an environment. I think, for example, Phoenix, which always has been appealing to players for a long time. You know, there are a lot of factors that go into it. It's not just weather, it's competitiveness, it's ownership, management. And I think Phoenix is now primed to take a run at some free agents.
Jerry Colangelo with us for a couple of minutes, USA Basketball Chairman with Brad Susmat. Robert Sarver intimated recently that he is looking at a new building, that it's time for a new building. Are you of that same opinion of U.S. Airways?
No, I don't really have an opinion. I understand his thinking because it seems as though the life of these arenas are now 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Technology and all the new nuances in construction, et cetera, have changed the equation. And so I understand Robert's point of view. By the way, being in Madison Square Garden, which was just retrofitted. It's not a new building,
mm-hmm.
but it appears to be. They put $1 billion into refurbishing Madison Square Garden, and it's beautiful. But mm-hmm. they could afford to do it in that city with their bookings and their pricing. And so, you know, our building here in Phoenix has been a great building, it still looks terrific, you know, and we opened in 92, 93, but it's not one of the oldest buildings in the league. And so you either put a lot more money into it to bring it up to snuff, if you will, or you look at a new facility. So I think Robert's doing the right thing.
Could it be retrofitted, in your opinion, US Airways?
No, unfortunately, the footprint is a small footprint. Mm. If you had a larger footprint, it would be much, much easier to do so. I think it's going to be difficult.
So he'd have to move elsewhere in town to put the new facility in place.
I'm not sure where he's looking, you know, in terms of options. On a personal basis, you know, I've been an urban proponent. I'm very proud of what's happened in our own city. Mm-hmm. And I hope it remains where, you know, in downtown Phoenix somewhere.
One other note on this. I'm just curious. You and I have talked through the years when the team has had its ups and it's had its downs. It's 4 years without being in postseason, potentially five, strength of schedule with Oklahoma City and all that stuff. What do you make out of what they're doing on the floor here in Phoenix?
They're making progress. You know, they need to – I think that with what they have in the way of a nucleus, and I understand they're contemplating maybe a trade here before the deadline. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's more cap related in all probability, and also maybe a redundancy on the roster in terms of position. But if they could acquire the, I don't want to say the right free agent, but free agency gives them an opportunity potentially to take the next step. And, hopefully, that'll be the case this year.
A couple other questions. We'll let Jerry Colangelo go. Your project you were working on in Tempe is not moving forward as it sits today. Is that correct?
Yes, that is exactly correct, but it's not a dead deal as of yet. We'll know a lot more by the end of the week.
And that is a funding mechanism, Jerry, and only a funding mechanism for the Olympic facility?
Yeah, it's primarily, the developer was not able to meet deadlines, et cetera, mm-hmm. and the rug was pulled. And what's being attempted is a reconstructed package that would still make it viable.
Same place, same location, everything stays the same?
Probably.
Probably. Wow, okay. What do you make out of Dan Marley's season?
I think he's doing great. I'm very pleased with the progress. You know, we're 15-11 at Grand Canyon. We've lost three or four games by within 2 or 3 points. So we could very well be 18 or 19 wins right now. And, you know, in our second year to make the progress we have, looking forward to year number three of our four-year NCAA dues-paying period before we're eligible for the postseason play, NCAA tournament, I think we're doing just fine.
There'd been some conversation that maybe that 4 years would not be an entire 4 years. You could get through it earlier. Is that still the case or not?
Yes, it is, and we're still working on that. You know, the other thing, the WAC has not allowed us to participate in the postseason tournament, the WAC tournament.
Right.
There are other teams in the country who fall in the same category as us, in other words, paying their four-year dues mm-hmm. period. And their conferences have allowed them to participate.
Hmm.
And so, honestly, I think there are teams in our conference who would rather not see us.
Hmm. And there's also other conferences that may have an eye towards Grand Canyon University.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, yeah. Appreciate your time and insight as always.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Jerry Colangelo with us for a couple of minutes. That's like a meat sandwich right there. Let me think. So the current footprint that the Suns are on is not big enough. It can't be refurbished. Thus, Robert Sarver is going to have to find a new space for an arena for the Suns. So that's one note. Later this week, you'll know about the Olympic facility over in Tempe. That's number two. Number three, the WAC jerking around with GCU and not letting them play in the postseason while others are. And there's no question there's other conferences. I don't know. There's three things right there you just look at and say, okay, all right. Those are three big things to keep an eye on here in the Valley. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. Busy week. Yesterday I was over at Phoenix College in the afternoon for AZ United SC's tryouts and their first practice. They signed an Adidas deal, which may not mean anything to you, but if Adidas thinks enough of what's going on with pro soccer here in Arizona, they sign a deal. That tells me on a business end that they are clearly headed in the right direction. And Scottsdale Stadium, that deal. And there's some developers around town that are wanting to find out more, I do believe, on what United's plans are for a permanent soccer facility. I bring up facilities because, let me go back on Jerry's conversation with me there. If you're just joining us, we just had Jerry Colangelo on and talked to him about Robert Sarver wanting a new arena. We have not had, let me take a big deep breath here on this one. We have not had an issue here in Arizona over arenas and buildings and potential threats or any of that stuff since the Cardinals. If you think back when the Cardinals were at Sun Devil Stadium and they were miserable and ASU was miserable and they both hated each other and they both sniped at each other and all that stuff was going on. And there was the Rio Salado Crossing Project and there was the vote and there was just all sorts of things that finally led to the Cardinals to getting their way and getting their stadium, in my opinion, still to this day, I believe it was misplaced being put in the West Valley. The building downtown for the Coyotes was inadequate for the Coyotes. You couldn't see and all that stuff. So they went out to Glendale as well. And that's been an absolute disaster for the Coyotes financially. They've gone through owners. The city's not happy. I saw where another city manager got chewed up, spit out, and quit in less than a year in Glendale this last week. And so when I hear Jerry talk about Robert Sarver and the footprint of U.S. Airways Center, or when they call it Talking Stick next year, whatever sponsorship name you want to put on it. Here's the thing. And some of you have already picked up on this. During the break, I had a couple people that sent me notes that said, Seattle's looking for an NBA team. Yes, they are. And if people don't get their way with buildings, I have found that they always use other cities as leverage. How many times have we heard about the Coyotes potentially moving here and moving there if they don't get the right ownership, if they didn't get the right building? And we heard that from the Cardinals. We've never heard that from the Diamondbacks. They've been downtown. They've been in a stadium that's been just fine. I just have to look big, broad picture and take a step back and say that the next few years, not just off of this morning's little conversation with Jerry, but just my way around town and visiting with people, civically, it's going to be a very interesting time here. Because if the footprint is not big enough downtown for where the Suns are right now, and you're Robert Sarver, where would be the best location to move the basketball team to build a new arena? Not just for basketball, but for all sports, you know, or entertainment. We're already in this space where if there's a concert in Glendale, it sounds better than it does at U.S. Airways. Am I right about that, Eric? If from a concert standpoint,
yes,
I've heard that it's a better deal. It's a better view. It sounds better to be in Glendale than it is downtown.
Well, the sound inside the arena is just better. It's just the sound of the concerts is
in
better.
In Glendale
okay. Is better than U.S. Air.
So is U.S. Air losing events to Glendale? I don't know that. I had heard that. I know that behind the scenes, there's a fierce battle. Remember when Dodge Theater first came out, that was supposed to alleviate the downtown, and it hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
We have these facilities, okay, and sports is part of it. But if I'm Robert Sarver and the footprint isn't big enough and I have to look at where else can I move this facility, I think it's very fair for us in our jobs, sitting behind microphones or in front of TV cameras, to start to look at this story with a little bit of seriousness about it. Jerry's not going to just throw that around idly. That's not him. It's never been him. Robert has intimated within the Republic that he needs a new building. It hasn't been brought to light, though. Nobody's really pursued the story. It's just kind of like, oh, okay, the owner needs a building. All right.
Isn't that crazy, though, to think about? Because when I go watch an event inside the arena, I think the arena's fine. I mean, they expanded the concourse and they made it nicer. I don't know. I guess everyone needs a new arena. But if you saw games in Veterans Memorial Coliseum,
which you did and I didn't.
Yeah, it's night and day. And again, that was back in the 80s.
But I'll give you an example. So this last, 2 weeks ago, I go to San Diego. I'm invited out by my friend who is the president of the San Diego Soccers, John Quintero. He's a personality, radio personality out there as well, and he's the president of the indoor soccer team. Come out, see my product, tell me what you think. So I went as a shopper. I just went, got a ticket, stood in line, hung out. He's got some investors that like what we're doing here, so I wanted to meet with them. But I forgot what an absolute, utter rat hole, sinkhole the San Diego Sports Arena is. And it's still there. Just, it smells like mildew. Just as you walk in. Everything else was great. But when I walk into U.S. Airways, okay, and I don't go there as much as I used to, there's no reason for me to be there to watch the Suns play the Pistons on a Monday night. I have no interest in that at all. I can watch that, and the quality of the product isn't all that great. But I did go when LeBron was here, because I think a good measuring stick for any sports organization is when you have the best of the best roll into town, you should get a feel about the vibe and the people, and right down to, is it easy to park? Are concessions easy to get to, and all that stuff? And you know what? The Cavalier game wasn't even close to being sold out. Not even close. And they can talk about tickets distributed and all that nonsense, but look, empty seats disguised as people is pretty obvious. People seem like they had a good time. They could move around there. The concourse is narrower than these newer arenas. There's no question about that. The underneath the blood and guts of the facility is worn. You can just sense when an indoor, they've run a lot of rodeos and they've run a lot of Disney on Ice and they've run a lot of concerts and they've run a lot of things in and out of that facility. And I just want us to make sure that what we do in keeping teams in place, because most of you just assume that, well, the team's going to stay here and all that stuff. I don't know this owner. I know this owner simply from what he's done since he purchased the team. I also know that this is an owner that has done some very good things civically and corporately, some very good things. So I have to take that into account. But I also know that this owner is a banker. And if a banker doesn't get what a banker wants to get or doesn't feel as though it's a value, then a banker is always going to be open to somebody flying in from some city saying, hey, would you consider this or consider that? I'm just telling you, as I'm sitting here in February of 2015, that's where this is probably leading to. If they don't get their building situation right, it's going to be one of those that I'd be very surprised if Robert Sarver came out and said, we're building the arena here, we're turning over dirt, everything's in great shape, everything's in place. He's a businessman. This segment of the show brought to you by Mareel Slater Insurance. Mareel Slater Insurance. Tom Mareel and John Slater have been telling you about getting your insurance done. The deadline was this last week, and now they're talking about extending it. The government is. Nonetheless, whether or not you get your health insurance in place before the deadline, if you need someone to look closely at your health insurance, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and the people at Mareel Slater Insurance can work together for you. You should always go through that evaluation. You shouldn't just assume, oh, everything's great. Maybe it's not. Maybe prices have changed. Maybe your family situation has changed. Mareel Slater, they've been a part of Sports 360 AZ and in my personal world for a year now. Tom and John do a great job there along with Lori and the people within the building, within the facility. They can handle your health insurance needs and can give you that checkup to make sure you're where you need to be through Blue Cross and Blue Shield. I'm going to give you a website to go to get more information. MSinsuranceLLC.com. MSinsuranceLLC.com. One more time, MSinsuranceLLC.com. Again, that's Mareel Slater Insurance. Mareel Slater Insurance, a part of Sports 360. We appreciate their support. Combine is starting tomorrow. Eric is leaving tomorrow morning. He's going to Indianapolis. He'll be doing plenty of content. I don't think you're going to do as much video this year. I think you're going to be chasing guys more. I get a feeling.
Oh, really?
I mean, if Hundley rolls in at the same time that Anders Pete rolls in, or do they do it by position?
They do it by position, but they have multiple podiums.
Sure.
So they could have,
because I don't care
Anders
about Bryce
Pete
Petty
on podium three, and they could have Brett Hundley on podium six.
So this will be your fourth year doing it. I don't care what Bryce Petty has to say.
I don't either.
You know, it's because you're a TCU guy. I would like to hear a little bit from Jameis Winston, but that's going to be really hard because there's probably 200 other guys that are there to do it. I get it.
Well, it's okay. They have a malt box, so I'll just
that's something
set
you plug
up
into.
And, yeah.
It's, yeah. For those of you who know, you plug into it.
It
and
allows
you,
you to capture the audio from a microphone, so you don't have to stick your stick mic up there. So
it's fine. But are there other players, like Shaq Thompson to me, is a really interesting prospect.
Good linebacker.
Is he a running back, though? He's going to be a linebacker in all likelihood.
Everything I've seen is he's projected to be a linebacker.
Peter raised the thought this morning from those there that he could be a great running back.
He could, but if I'm him, I'd want to stay a linebacker because you know what happens to running backs.
Yeah, they get beat up.
Yep.
Jamil Douglas, I thought, played well in the Senior Bowl. I saw the Senior Bowl. I thought that he played well there. So
Marcus Hardison too. Is going to probably get drafted higher than we thought. Big defensive end. 6'3", 312
pounds. Now, when you say higher than you
pounds.
Thought?
Well, I mean, he was, you know, maybe a fifth to sixth round pick, and he could, because of his athleticism, because of his size, from what I've been reading and hearing,
yeah.
He could go in the fourth or fifth round. So it's not like he's going to skyrocket in the first day or the first 2 days of the draft. But
did he play well when he was at ASU?
At times.
See, I thought his first year he was a disappointment. I thought he was swimming upstream. I thought last year he got better and better as he went along.
Well, he had to because just like Todd Graham, I mean, Todd Graham told you last summer, hey, we've got really no experienced defensive linemen left.
Yeah.
No Carl Bradford, no Will Sutton. So we need a guy like Hardison to really ramp up his game. And I thought he had a good year. He's on radar.
No, he's rising.
Radars. Yeah.
He's rising. He still wasn't as dominant early in the year, but as the season progressed, he got better and better. You know, we like to canonize these guys and just say automatically, oh, they're the greatest thing ever. No. I mean, Jalen Strong, from day one that he showed up at ASU, was well beyond what I was sold by them. And usually they oversell guys and then come back and say, well, he was this, he was that.
I heard a lot of the hype. Chris Cartman was really the first with ASUDevils.com to kind of bring Jalen Strong into the ASU picture. And he told me, this kid will be in the NFL in 2 years, and he was right.
No, he's right.
Lived up to all expectations.
Dead flat right. On the other side, I'm going to circle back on something I touched on a little bit yesterday, because the uproar, and the outrage over a recruiting website is grown, and we do a lot of recruiting here, and we try to take that serious. And then Charles Barkley talked about how he almost didn't become a Phoenix Sun, and I think it's really interesting. This just popped up from Charles to SportsIllustrated.com. We'll talk about that, too, on the other side. Talk to the Lopes comes up with Andy Stankiewicz after the top of the hour. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
You remember when Charles was traded to the Suns, Eric?
Of course.
It was like yesterday?
No, it wasn't like yesterday, but I definitely remember it.
What was it like here?
Oh, man, we traded Jeff Hornacek. How could they do that? Everyone loved Jeff Hornacek.
So Tim Perry
has such great upside, and Andrew Lang is such a reliable player. And then people started like watching these Charles Barkley highlights, and it's like, oh, I see.
So the first point was we traded so-and-so. It wasn't
we got
Charles Barkley.
Just Hornacek. It was the, oh, we feel bad for Jeff Hornacek. He was such a big part of the Suns turning things around after the drug scandal era. So.
I'd never read this before. Maybe Charles had said it, and I just don't recall, but he did an interview with SI.com that they published today. And the Lakers evidently had acquired Charles from Philly in 1992, according to Charles. Well, he says he was almost dealt. And then his quote was, I got traded to the Lakers one day, and the Sixers retracted the deal. So typical Charles form. It wasn't almost. He was, according to Charles and SI.com. Charles said, quote, the Sixers back out. It was going crazy for 2 weeks, so I know it would come down to Portland, the Lakers, or Phoenix. I get a call from my agent one morning. He said, Philly has traded you to the Lakers. To the Lakers. How did the Hall of Fame power forward react to the news? I went to lunch and started drinking. Of course he did. 3 hours later, I got a phone call from my agent saying the Sixers backed out of the deal. Instead of going to the Lakers, He went back to Philly, and the Philadelphia Inquirer reported that James Worthy and Eldon Campbell were parts of the deal that the Lakers intended to send for Barkley. Worthy retired in 94. Campbell eventually traded for Eddie Jones, the Charlotte Hornets, Glenn Rice deal, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So if that had gone down, would we even be sitting here today talking about a downtown arena? Because if there's no Charles Barkley, there's no way that this franchise would have even gotten to the NBA Finals. So from that standpoint, I find it interesting.
The arena was going to be built, though, even before the Barkley trade, right?
I wasn't here.
Barkley.
No, it was. The
Barkley
arena was
always
already being built.
Right. Barkley always played in US Air. He never, as a son, he never played at Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Okay, so let me rephrase that.
The arena would have been built, but there's no way in heck the Suns would have made it all the way to the finals.
The build-up around the arena.
Yes.
That's a better way for me to put
it.
Yes. It's a better way for me
because
to put it.
Because that was like the place to be when Charles...
Sure, but
I mean,
it still
the
was
Suns
a ghost
were
town.
On pay-per-view at one time, Brad. Think
no,
about
I was
that.
Here. I was here for
Think
that.
About that.
No, I was here for that. I was here. And this comes at a time where Charles is... become a lightning rod, and obviously he's always been one, but gosh, in the last couple of weeks, the haters have come out. Not that like Daryl Morey or DeMarcus Cousins hating on me would have any impact at all, but there's been more and more people that have come out, although I saw Mark Cuban actually agreed with him, Charles, on the analytics case, which is, yeah, it's half true that analytics aren't that big of a deal. Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, a segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Yesterday, I finished doing the show. I'm sitting here going through some things. I get a text from someone who said, I'm looking for a vehicle, and I want to know who to talk to over at Santan Ford. So I sent them over to Big Lloyd Koval. And then I go on my email, and someone sent me a note right to Sports 360 AZ. Hey, I'm interested in buying a vehicle over there. It's Tim. How do you spell his last name for Hovick? So I know that people, as you watch what we do every day here at Sports360AZ.com, that you're seeing that Santan Ford is a big part of what we do, and we are a big part of them as well. We partner together. Eric's going to the NFL Scouting Combine thanks to Santan Ford. They say, Brad, wherever you go, places that you want to cover, just let us know. We're there with you. That's at Santan Ford. It's a great partnership to have. Now, how about you for your vehicle, whether it's a new or certified pre-owned, like my wife is driving? We purchased a certified pre-owned Explorer back in October. It's made a lot of sense for us, had some miles on it, not too many. It's time to get out of our high mild expedition. And she's really happy with driving around the Explorer. For me, it's the Ford Fusion. So for you, what about your driving situation? Stop into Santan Ford or go to santanford.com or just go to sports360az.com and you'll see the Santan Ford banner there. You can click on that as well. That's at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Andy Stankiewicz joins us next. Talk to the Lopes. It's Tuesday, and every week we check in over at Grand Canyon University for a couple of minutes. On our site right now, sports360az.com. Plenty of content. If you're a college football fan, I threw some notes up around U of A football. A couple notes I think will catch you by surprise. Also, talk to some Pac-12 assistant coaches, and they gave me kind of a heads up as to who is the top quarterback in the state of Arizona without using his name. And it's not just here in Arizona, but around the conference. And I think you'll be surprised. The top quarterback prospect in high school is only a sophomore. His YouTube video is up on the story, too. You can check that out at sports360az.com or Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. I'm Brad Sussmat. Off we go in hour number two. It is time for Talk to the Lopes, and then we'll get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. It is game day for Andy Stankiewicz. They play tonight against UNLV, and I don't want to take too much of his time on game day, but it's time to talk to the Lopes. Want to find out how things are going, especially after a 30-run eruption on Sunday. How are you, Coach?
I'm well. Thanks, Brad. Pleasure to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so tonight, UNLV, this is big boy time for your program.
It is. They've got a nice program. They won 2 out of 3 over the weekend against a real good Nebraska team, University of Nebraska. So they're good. They've always been good. They're kind of one of the predominant favorites in that in the Mountain West every year, and been in the regionals pretty consistently. So it's been a good test. You know, we had a great weekend, as you mentioned. We swung the bats pretty well, and we pitched well also. So now we kind of move up to playing UNLV, and then we got Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, at their place over the weekend. So we're gonna be put to the test a little bit here this week.
Talk to the Lopes. Andy Stankiewicz with us tonight, 6 o'clock against UNLV at home. 3-0 start. So you're out of the gates quickly, but anytime you score 30 runs, that's one of those deals where I have to ask a little bit further. How did that happen? 30 runs in a game.
Well, you know what's interesting is it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
And so you're right in your observation there. But the interesting thing is they believe it or not, did not commit an error, which is like unheard of. Just for that many runs, usually the opponent, you know, kicked the ball around a little bit or allowed you to get some freebies. But we just swung the bats really, really well. We got to their starter pretty quickly, and you know, sometimes on day three, you know, the relieving core, the bullpen might be a little bit tired. I think they were. But our guys just you know, they were relentless in their offensive approach. They didn't give anything away, and Chad De La Guerra had a career day. I think he had 9 RBIs, 2 home runs, and Charles Wagner had a big day, I think, with 5 RBIs. Paul Panachone, Garrison Schwartz. So, I mean, up and down the lineup, it was just guys just having that day, you know. And it was a 10 o'clock start. We had no batting practice, and we just kind of showed and went to work. And guys, you know, I see batting practice is overrated. It's just show up and play. It's like good old Little League time, you know.
Right. So. You don't have to do that. So now you're going to take that moving forward against UNLV. No BP tonight, right, Coach?
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to our assistant coach, Coach Wallace. I'm like, well, hey, you know, we scored 30 runs and no batting practice. And if you want some, no, we'll say, well, the regular day, we'll take batting practice and all of it. But makes you wonder a little bit, though, I can tell you.
Before I let you get out of here, because I know it's game day, what is it about your team so far that you really like 3 games in, other than your 3-0?
Well, I think we've got some maturity. We've got some guys that we've got a lot of returning players that have been in the program, some guys for 4 years, some of our seniors. Coley Brun, the senior. Charles Wagner is a senior. George Perez, who's a little banged up right now, but a senior. So I think we've got an older mix, then we've got some younger guys that I think that are really coachable. They're sitting back and they're observing. They're just kind of keeping quiet and observing the older guys, watching them go about it. So I like the mix. I like the maturity. It's a team that early on has shown really good chemistry. And I know when you're 3-0, everybody's happy, right? So
sure.
You know, the test will be as we get through down the year when we hit some rough spots. But so far, I'm just encouraged about the way they've gone about it. They really seem to enjoy playing together.
Is this a litmus test week for you, Andy?
It is, yeah, for sure. This is, because then we got Milwaukee, Wisconsin back the following weekend. Then we go to Oklahoma State and Tennessee. So it's time to really kind of see where we're at.
Yeah, yeah. I'll let you go off that. I'll talk soon. Appreciate the time for a couple of minutes.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate
you got it.
It.
Andy Stankiewicz on game day. He's running. He's a man on the move. And let's talk to the Lopes. Appreciate Grand Canyon head baseball coach Andy Stankiewicz for a couple of minutes. I know basketball is back home as well. I'm thinking about heading out there this week. So I want to see if the progress they've been making. And the girls team's playing really well too. So I look up while I'm doing the show and I see that Alex Rodriguez sent out an apology today. I apologize to Yankees and MLB fans today. Don't these things just kind of ring hollow? I don't know. Should I be more forgiving? Should I be more or do we just not? I don't care. I just have this kind of, you're done. Alex Rodriguez, you are so 2008 in my world. Just, you're, please leave. Go buy an island and go stay at the island and go throw your phone in the ocean. I don't want to hear from you.
It's becoming the Pete Rose, did he bet on baseball, did he not bet on baseball, tired narrative that for the longest time just would not go away. Just please, Alex, like you said, go somewhere, anywhere. Yeah. Really, and, anywhere. Rose, I don't care where you go. Just go.
And the Rose thing is going to come up this year because the All-Star Game is in Cincinnati this year, and Rob Manfred's a new commissioner. He's left open the door. He wants to talk about Pete Rose a little bit. A segment brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. When you say just plain easy, if you've not flown out of Gateway Airport, I guarantee you, your experience will be much different than you've had at other airports. It is a smaller, more convenient way for you to get around. Allegiant Air will save you money. There's a nice place to sit and have a drink or two before you get on the flight, or a bakery that's there as well. I mean, there's just things that you need in an airport without all the bells and whistles that by the time you get your ticket, you're paying for bells and whistles. Okay, so when I tell you that there are flights that you can find on Allegiant Air out of Gateway Airport for $50 one way to Vegas, are you kidding me? Or flying into Oakland and saving yourself lots of money so you can get into the Bay Area, or up to Eugene, Oregon to get into Portland or go see sporting events there as well. Allegiant gets into nearly 40 different locations. So Gateway Airport just off the Santan 202 and the 60. It's continuing to grow by leaps and bounds. One of the best kept secrets in the valley, a secret no more. That's Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport was just plain easy. Big stories are Combine starts tomorrow. Eric will be heading to that. Adrian Wojnarowski just posted on Twitter, and I don't often just jump all over Twitter, but when it's Adrian Wojnarowski doing anything on the NBA, I immediately say, okay, let's talk about this a little bit. Adrian Wojnarowski, sources, Suns want to keep and re-sign Dragic, but to even consider a deal, they would minimally want player with all-star potential and a pick. I don't think that's big breaking news. Of course you would want to get a player that's of all-star caliber. I understand that. More Wojnarowski. If the Suns make a move before the deadline, it is far more likely to include Isaiah Thomas and or Gerald Green, league sources telling Wojnarowski. And I'm fine with that. Gerald Green at times is really good, but he's just a guy. He's not going to be, in my opinion, and if 5 years from now he's lighting it up and averaging 25 a game, he can't do it. He's one of those guys that is a guy for the most part. He just rolls in, has some very good games, and other nights it's, who are you? Isaiah Thomas, I'm fine trading Isaiah Thomas. I don't have any love or affiliation towards keeping Isaiah Thomas here. I think if you have to look at the contractual side of things, if, in fact, you don't sign Dragic this summer and he walks and you make this deal now, then you really look stupid if you're the Phoenix Suns. I mean, there's no other way to put it. If they don't have the certainty that they can keep Dragic here, they could go from having three guards down to Eric Bledsoe, who is not LeBron James, even though LeBron is his buddy and his pal and all that stuff. So there's some real interesting times here for the Suns to figure out what it is that they want to do. If Houston is the team that comes after the Suns for Goran Dragic, then I got to look at the Rockets roster and say, you know, I want A, B, and C. I have to really oversell this deal. And is Isaiah Thomas going to be happy here? You know, that's the other thing. I kind of sense from him, watching him, if he doesn't get, he's one of these guys, I got to get mine. I got to get my shots. I got to get my points. Was it DeMarcus Cousins? Not that he's any great inside analyst of talent, but he did have a good observation, I thought, when he said Isaiah Thomas has sticky fingers. That means he doesn't like to pass the ball very much, and I have seen that in his play with the Suns. So again, that's from Adrian Wojnarowski this morning, that if Gerald Green goes, I'm fine. I'd rather see the Morrises go. Rather see them go. I'd like to see Gerald Green go. It's time for Miles Plumlee to go. These are just guys. And they in some people's minds may be of value. If I'm building a roster to win a title, I don't see how they're going to help me win a title. I do believe Alex Len can help me win a title. I do believe Bledsoe can help. I do believe Dragic can help. But where they're woefully thin and don't have the players that can help them win a title is at the forward position. It's my opinion. The Diamondbacks open spring training this week, so we'll talk more about that on tomorrow's show. Also, Eric will be in the combine world tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night.
You'll I'm in the combine?
You're in
I'm
the combine.
In the Oh my gosh.
You're in the combine. You're
all right,
out of shape.
I got to go. Hold on.
Put the brownie
down. I'm in the combine.
Now.
I'm in the combine. I'm always the last to know.
He's in the combine world.
Jeez.
In the combine world.
Oh, yes, I will be. Right in the middle of it.
We continue on. It is a busy, busy Tuesday. Sports360AZ.com. You can check out our site for all sorts of content. around the college, high school, pro teams that we see in the Valley, in the state. There's a bunch of content up right now on the opening of training camp for AZ United SC for you soccer fans. It's done really well. A lot of college football content up around U of A today. Some high school content on one of the top quarterbacks in the state. College coaches telling me the best quarterback prospect in the state of Arizona right now may well be a sophomore in the East Valley. You can see his video as well on sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360az.